Hi, I'm Fred Schonenberg, and thank you for joining me on the Venture Fuel podcast. At Venture Fuel, we help companies find new solutions by partnering with the best startups from around the world. On the show, you'll learn the secrets of business leaders who tap into startups and the founders driving extraordinary results. We'll consider new ideas, stretch our mindsets beyond the status quo, and in the process, discover how to leap the competition and fuel personal growth. Have you ever noticed oral care commercials are all aspirational? Beautiful people with beautiful smiles, with a mouthful of beautiful teeth, all complete perfection. But none of the quirks, none of the originality or the flaws that really make someone beautiful. Also, for all the noise about how plastic straws are destroying the environment, what about plastic toothbrushes or floss or the plastic tubes in which we have our toothpaste? Is brushing our teeth killing the planet? Plus Ultra is here with an inclusive and eco-conscious line of products and a resourceful founder who came up with the idea in college and pursued it vigorously with years of grassroots grinding to build an amazing company. I'm excited to have Christina Ramirez share her story and why her toothbrush is for every smile. So let's get after it. Christina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So can you share with us the Plus Ultra origin story, where this all began for you?
Absolutely. So I started with the concept back at UC Santa Barbara, go Gauchos. And I was a global studies major in a writing class. And our professor tasked us with creating a company that didn't already exist with the mission to solve a global problem. And so I chose to address the problem of global plastic pollution as well as poor oral hygiene in children. So that was the basis of the business plan that I wrote. And, you know, after the course, the professor and the university decided to sponsor the idea at a research conference. And so I knew that the idea had legs and that it was interesting, but I was, you know, amongst all the brilliant minds of all these math and science kids. And here I was talking about social enterprise and how to make the world a better place. So I knew that it was different. But yeah, that was in college where I came up with the early concepts of Plus Ultra.
I love it. And one of the things when we first met that you told me, it was sort of like from there to when the company came into, I'll call it existence, from beyond the competition. Can you walk us through that journey, that sort of window from when you had the idea in college to when it came out? Because I think it's really interesting how you got to where you are.
Yeah, it's definitely, it was a journey. And like most kids straight out of college, our parents tell us to get a job and get the highest paying job we can. And so, you know, as a global studies kid, I was limited. My heart and my mind wanted to work for like Oxfam or, you know, a nonprofit. And, you know, where the money was in corporate. So strategically sought a position with one of the News Corp companies. And at that company, we would consult other CPG brands on how to reach consumers within retailers. So we would take this syndicated data, which is like from a loyalty scanner card, let's say like a Ralph's or a CVS card. We would take the data scan from those cards and compile it into reports and consult these CPGs. So I, you know, consulted everyone from Nestle, Coca-Cola, Dial, you name the, you know, the brand in this region. And I worked on some sort of project for them. So I learned quickly how to like, you know, boost sales in retailers. And, you know, the market crashed and our region kind of narrowed a little bit. And there was a couple rounds of layoffs and I lasted all of them until the final. And they decided to close my territory. So it was a perfect time for me to make my way out of that corporate position. And but before I'd left, I had pulled some data for the oral care category and my mind was blown. And I just seen, you know, the crazy amount of like millions and millions of toothbrushes and toothpaste tubes were getting thrown away, you know, and sold every year. And so I was like, okay, there's a lot of oral care, you know, sales to be made. So I guess I should figure out how to start this company that I had, you know, the idea for back in college. And I remembered learning from Coca-Cola, if you want to learn about, you know, how to work with a company, and how to like, you know, partner with them, you got to go on the ground level and work with them. So I strategically, you know, sought a position at Whole Foods Market in Venice and started as a cashier making $11 an hour. So I went from my corporate, you know, three-piece suit to an apron and a name tag. And that's where I started, you know, the research and development on the ground level of how to actually start a company and what the store operations were like and how it, you know, operated with buyers and merchandising and sales. So I got my ground level experience there and pitched the idea of my eco-friendly oral care brand up to the buyers. And they thought it was a great idea and were super supportive. And they gave me a shot of starting me out with 32 doors. And that's how I started the company.
I love it. I mean, I always think about some friends over the years have been like, I'm going to start a restaurant. I've got an idea for a new restaurant. I'm like, have you ever worked in a restaurant? And if they say no, I'm like, I don't know if that's a good idea, right? Like you need to understand the business and be there. And I love that you went, you know, right to the source, learned it from both sides, right? What the consumers want, as well as the actual physical location and the regional manager to kind of do your homework on what it was going to take.
Yeah, no, it was the best decision I'd ever made was getting a job at Whole Foods Market. Not only, you know, from a strategic distribution standpoint, but also from, you know, making friends and learning how, you know, the ecosystem works within retailers and developing those relationships on the ground level, because all of those people have eventually blossomed and grown in their own rights to become, you know, regional buyers or brokers or sales teams. And the people that I work with right now, you know, on our sales team, those are all the sales people that I knew back from Whole Foods. So yeah, it's really great to go from, you know, an employee at Whole Foods to hiring them as my sales team.
That's so cool. And one of the things that we get asked a lot, especially with like early stage CPG type companies is, you know, how do you even get on shelf? And once you do get on that one shelf, which you just gave a roadmap on how to do it in a really unique way, how do you go beyond that, right? Like just that expansion is such a beast and something that you've done incredibly well. So you talk about that journey of sort of expanding the retail doors and places that you guys are sold in.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you got to do your homework first and learn, you know, your consumers. You have to learn who the buyers are in these different retailers and present to them. There's category reviews and there's cycles. And, you know, it takes time to build those relationships and, you know, show sales. So, you know, the first things first is you got to have a really great product line, because if you don't have a great product and the buyers try it and don't like it, like you won't have a shot. But if you have a great product, it makes it a lot easier. If you have press, it makes it a lot easier. If you have outstanding D2C or online sales, that makes it a lot easier. But, you know, just reaching out to these different retailers, even, you know, the info lines and saying, hey, like, can you point me in the right direction of this buyer? And then you just go through the cycle. Or you hire sales teams who already have those relationships and brokers who already have those relationships with those retailers. And then you let them do all the setting up and then you take the meeting and you close the deal. So there's a lot of different ways that you can, you know, roadmap yourself into different retailers. But, you know, it takes persistence, it takes patience, it takes enthusiasm and strategy. So, you know, for me, I started out with a top tier, you know, retailers like Whole Foods, Erewhon, Thrive Market, and now we're going mass. And the reason why we're able to go mass and, you know, do well in those retailers is because we've built the foundation of our consumer base. Whereas if you're like a brand new startup and you're trying to go straight to Costco, like no one's going to buy your product because nobody knows it. So definitely being strategic about building your following and your consumers before you try to go big is something I recommend.
So one of the things I never thought about until I saw your presentation was the sort of like aspirational perfection in terms of the marketing around oral care. And once I saw like your ad campaign, it like now it's all I can see every time I see an ad for anything. Can you tell us about where that's been historically and what you guys are doing differently?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious, you know, when you look at whether it's commercials or whether it's in-store advertising or even on product packaging, you see these perfect pearly white teeth with like the sparkle. And, you know, that's all they show in these traditional bigger brands. And that's not realistic. That's not like, that doesn't represent, you know, the majority of the United States and the majority of consumers. And so we really wanted to be the brand that was showing, you know, oral care for every smile and just being able to be inclusive and diverse. It's really amazing how last year it just became even more relevant, that the climate that was going on with, you know, all the racial injustice. So it's nice to see that all these brands now are starting to jump on the bandwagon and show diversity and show inclusion in their brands. But we've been walking that talk for quite some time, and we're really proud to do that. So it reflects in our branding and our marketing and what we show online.
So one of the things that made you jump out when I was, the first email I got was bamboo toothbrush, take a look. And my thought, and that wasn't from you, it was from somebody recommending that I talk to you. And my thought was like, I've tried a bamboo toothbrush. There's a lot of those out there, and they're these monster oral care companies. Then I saw your positioning, was like, oh my gosh, that's super smart. And then I got the product and it was awesome, right? It didn't fall apart. It felt like a great toothbrush right out of the gate. But can you talk about what it is that is unique about your business, especially going up against, you know, what I'll call it is a little bit of noise, like a crowded marketplace?
Yeah, I mean, I think number one is, you know, you nailed it. It's our products. So, you know, a lot of times, a lot of these, you know, brands are popping up all over the place and they're just importing, whether it's from China or, you know, different parts of the world. And they're not taking the time to develop a quality product or a quality product line with the best ingredients and the best materials and the best design. And we really took the time to do that. Like, I developed these toothbrushes with dentists from UCLA and USC. And we're the only, you know, bamboo toothbrush and, you know, eco-friendly toothbrush brand that has worked with dentists to develop their products, which is mind-blowing. Like, you know, we follow the American Dental Association guidelines. We work with dentists and have, you know, a dental board. So we really take the time to make, you know, excellent, you know, quality products. You know, the other thing that makes us stand out is that, like, you know, we're doing things differently. We're not here to, like, promote, you know, the perfect influencer white smile. We're promoting, like, diversity and inclusion within oral care. We're also, you know, we've put in the time to develop the brand over the years. So, you know, back in 2012, we launched with Whole Foods and, you know, we've been growing our customer base since then. So we're not just like some, you know, get online, do D2C, make a quick buck and then like check out. It's like, no, we've been in this category for quite some time and we're the ones that are innovating in this category. So, you know, a lot of these brands just like copy us and, you know, just try to relaunch, you know, products that we've already developed. And, you know, I'm lucky now that I have, you know, patents and patent pendings on a lot of our new designs that are coming out. But we're the ones who are working with newer materials. Like, we were the first to do bamboo toothbrushes back in 2012 and launch them with a retailer out here in the US. And we're the first ones to create this, you know, first ever biodegradable cornstarch replacement head that's compatible with Philips Sonicare. And we're working on our Oral-B one next.
One of the hard things about being a startup is trying to figure out when you should approach larger companies, when they can be, you know, frenemies rather than enemies, when they can be complementary to your business. And oftentimes founders are very close with their cards because they're worried about their IP getting stolen. What we've found is actually large companies now are looking to startups to be the innovation arm, to come up with new ideas and new concepts. And they're actually realizing that they have what a startup doesn't have, which is the resources, the networks. And by putting the two together, you get sort of 1+1=3, an ability where both of them can grow really quickly.
So, you know, we're pushing the envelope when it comes to innovation and materials, which is something that nobody really does. So that's, I think, what makes us stand out and what's our secret sauce.
I love that. So you mentioned two large companies there with Oral-B and Philips. Why would a large company like that look to partner with a startup, right? Or partner with your business? Why don't they go to their R&D lab or come up with some other way to go about this?
Yeah, you know, that's a really great question. And it's so funny because when I wrote the business plan back in college, like, we were the partners of Procter & Gamble. That was like my dream business plan that I wrote up. So, you know, it wouldn't be too far off if, you know, P&G or, you know, one of the bigger brands approached us and said, hey, we'd love to partner with you and have you guys, you know, be our innovation lab. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why I think one of them would like to work with us is because, you know, it takes some time to really learn about the innovative and sustainable materials. And prior to COVID, I was going to China 2 to 4 times a year and going to all the international fairs to learn about the newest materials out there and pushing factories to really test and work with new materials. And that's something that these bigger brands that they don't do. And, you know, they also, you know, try to do, what smaller startups are doing. So like Colgate recently launched a bamboo toothbrush, but it's not designed by dentists. And not to knock the product, if Colgate, reach out to me if you'd like some help. But it's also like double the price. So they like price themselves out of the market for, you know, like a customer that's shopping at Kroger or Walmart. So, you know, we've really figured out all of those things to make this accessible for consumers because we want to make that impact. We don't want to have like a $9 toothbrush selling at like a Whole Foods. Our products are $3.99 at Whole Foods, and we want to, you know, make it accessible to the customers shopping at Walmart. So we'd love to work with them.
I love it. So I have a question that is impossible to answer. I watched a documentary two nights ago that was all around sort of plastic in the ocean.
Yeah.
And my wife and I have been depressed for 2 days, and we're kind of sitting here going, okay, so what can we actually do that can make an impact? And so I was kind of excited to talk to you. We're all using your toothbrushes, so we've got that checked. But what is your perspective being so close to sustainability and for the eco-consciousness?
So I've been pushing the eco-friendly movement and plastic-free movement, you know, since I started the company in 2012. And, you know, over the years, I've seen a dramatic shift in consumers and, you know, changing their mindsets on, okay, I want to buy something that's better for the earth and that, you know, is better for me. So one is, you know, the consumer mindset, and that's really warm. But the next thing that needs to happen is manufacturers such as our company need to step up and start producing better materials and better quality products. And then the last piece of the puzzle is having retailers support us and support retail brands like ours to grow nationally so that we can make that impact. So that's like the last key thing. And, you know, we're reaching out to all the big retailers this year, like Kroger and Costco and Publix and Walgreens. And we're really hoping to partner with them so that we can provide consumers the option and the alternative. So the more alternatives that they have to like choose from, the more they're going to purchase them, the more the bigger brands are going to be forced to innovate and to, you know, either partner with us or, you know, create other products that are better for the environment. But like, we have to stop creating plastic in order for consumers to stop using and tossing plastic. So it's got to stop at the beginning with the manufacturing. So we just got to work with different materials instead of plastic.
I love it. So what's next for you and for your business? You know, we're always kind of looking out into the future. I know you're always innovating. So just curious if there's anything, obviously you can't share some of it, but what are you most excited about that's coming up for you?
You know, I'm just excited for this year to work with some of these bigger retailers and partner with some bigger brands and really amplify our messages and increase our products in the pipeline. We've got a lot of awesome, innovative, eco-friendly products in oral care that are coming out this year. And it would just be really great to, you know, amplify and work with some of these bigger brands and bigger retailers so that we can just really make the impact that we would like to. So I think that's what I'm most excited about is just to keep doing what I'm doing and just continue to grow.
Great. Well, where can people learn more about the products and your background?
Yeah, you can go to our website, which is www.liveplusultra.com. Or you can go to our Instagram and our handle is liveplusultra. Or you can email me directly, Christina@liveplusultra.com. I'm happy to answer any emails. And yeah, just Google us. We're there.
I love it. Well, as always, it's been a pleasure and wishing you continued success.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, you have to join us for our event that is going to be on April 29th at 12 p.m. Eastern. It's just 1 hour. It is all about sustainability. We're going to talk about how startups and large corporations come together. And when they do collaborate, that it has the opportunity to save the planet. It's going to be a great conversation. You can find a link to join for free. Just go to LinkedIn at VentureFuel. You'll see it right there atop of our sort of postings. And of course, if you enjoyed this episode, please hit subscribe wherever you're listening. We'd love to have you listen to future episodes. Until next time.